today. So from dysfunctional to dynamic. There we go. Covered it. Because that's what we're going to take a look at. We're going to take a look at Jacob and Esau. Now it says in Genesis, chapter of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, and he instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my master Esau. Your servant Jacob says, 'I have been staying with Laban and have remained there until now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, men servants and maidservants. Now I'm sending this message to my lord that I may find favor in your eyes.' When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, 'We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.' In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, 'If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape.'" Then in verse 9, "Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, "Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan. Now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, "I will make you prosper and make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted."" We see later on in this passage that Jacob actually ends up meeting with the Lord and having that encounter with the Lord where he wrestles with the Lord all night. Now, history tells us, when talking of Jacob, that he was most likely a very large man, very strong. He was a man of great strength, physical prowess. But this is the guy who snuck in and gets his brother to sell his birthright for a bowl of stew. Okay, and this is one that they always hit you with when you were in Sunday school, because it was always, don't let food overwhelm you. Don't let food become such a big thing. And I swear they did it right before noon, just so that you pay attention. In Bible college, days of prayer and fasting, they turned to that chapter. Drive you nuts, because they'd be talking about stew for the entire service. And seriously, it's a food thing in my world. If food comes up, it's just such a distraction.
We learned that yesterday.
Yeah, that's why I was... He not only steals the birthright, he also sneaks in and steals his brother's blessing from his father. And he does it in such a way by putting on fur on the back of his hands, because his brother Esau was quite furry. And so he manages to sneak in. Now, before this whole piece here, prior to where we pick up this story, he has fled his homeland because his brother Esau said he was going to kill him. He has gone to Laban. Now Laban, being the man of upright character that he was, says, "Oh, you want to marry my daughter? Sure, I'll let you marry my daughter. Work for me for 7 years, you can marry her." And then Laban goes and gives him the wrong one, deliberately. Now, "Oh, you wanted the other one? Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I have a deal for you. Come and work for me for 7 years. And so he went away with everything. And so right before where we just read, he's met with his father-in-law. And they've had a little bit of an argument. And so where we pick it up here in chapter 32, the very next thing that happens is Jacob meets some angels. He meets some angels and they minister to him. Now, that's helpful because he's been through quite a battle. He has had to work 20 years in a foreign land. As he goes and is coming back, he has with him everything that he's earned by his own hand. And he's had his father-in-law pursue him and accuse him of stealing from him. It has almost come to blows. And so right after that is where we pick it up. And that's where we want to pick it up here for today, because sometimes we have paths. Sometimes you have lived and have done things and you have gone and you have tried to battle. Jacob's name literally means deceiver. He was a deceiver. He was a schemer. He lived up to his name.
Yeah.
Now, even though he's received the blessing, even though he's received his father's blessing, he has the birthright, he has all of these things, he has still had to go and live somewhere else. And that's something that happens to all of us. We all have lives that we have lived prior to Christ. We all have a past. I'm sorry, you do. I know that you were hoping, and maybe if you had amnesia, you forgot you didn't, but you do. And that's something that goes with us wherever we go. Because look at what happens here for Jacob. Jacob, even with his past, even though he has just met with some angels, he finds out that Esau is coming towards him. Now, he's not stupid. He said, I'm concerned that Esau might still want to kill me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide up my group into two separate portions. Actually, before he did that, what did he do? He sent a bride to his brother. And he sent the bride in three droves, which was three separate packs. So he sends him plenty of animals. Because he's trying to bribe him. He's trying to make it easier. Because he doesn't know how his brother's going to receive him. He's still living in the past. He's rich by now. He is a man of great herds. He has so many herds and has done so well for himself. But he's not living there. He's not living in that reality. He's still afraid of his older brother, who he's afraid is going to come and kill him, despite all the places that he's gone. Everything that he's seen, he is a man of his own right now. He's lived on his own 20 years, but he's still trapped by the past. He even has a great encounter with God at the start of chapter 32. There we go. Look at that. Angels. How many of us could say we sat down and had meals with angels? And you figure, hey, he had a powerful encounter with God there with the angels. He must really have arrived. And he finds out that Esau is coming with 400 men. And he's scared spitless. In fact, he's so scared, he divides up the two groups and goes, well, maybe if I do this, which is still scheming, he's still scheming, still trying to come up with his own ways. Now, I know that never happens to any of you. You're all just great people of faith. You never go and you never worry. You just approach the throne with boldness. You go, casting all my cares on you, Jesus. I don't have a care and anxiety, nothing. You certainly don't try to come up with your own plans and schemes. That's just something some of us do, because there's never been a situation where I haven't gone in and gone, what's my backup? And my backup usually has a backup. Because sometimes we can handle it, even after those great times in church, where God's really met us. We get out, and not an hour later, we're making up our own plans. We're coming up with our own way, and then we're doing what Jacob did here. And Jacob goes, okay, God, now I'm going to pray. He puts his plan in motion, separates the two groups, rather than being confident, wait, I've just met with the Lord's angels. I've just met with the Lord here. He has blessed me, made covenant with me. He's going to prosper me. And instead of living in that reality, he's busy going, oh, he's got 400 people. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? 400 people are going to come get me. I'll split my group. I'll split the group. Maybe that way I can have half of them survive. Sometimes we let our past overrule what God has done in our lives to our detriment. Okay? This isn't a matter of feeling bad about how you've done things. This is a matter of you're not intended to live in that condition. But sometimes we let our past control us. Sometimes it's more about the way we figured out to cope with things than living in the reality of God's blessing. The angels have just met with them. The angels have once again communicated that God has made covenant with you. He is going to bless you. He will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sand, I can't remember, whichever in this passage. And that's, instead of living in that reality, the first time the next difficult thing hits, he's right back to, okay, we've got to do it this way, and I'll pray that God will bless it. It's kind of like if you eat your meal first and then say grace at the end. And when I was growing up, my mom always said that was backwards. So I learned it to do it the other way. You would pray, but then when I was in Bible college, I learned why you did it, because we always had mystery meat in Bible college. And so you used to pray that God would protect you from whatever you were eating, that no harm would come to you as you ate it. Well, because you work faith. That's how you get ready to go out and be in the pastorate. So that whenever you eat in somebody's house, you're confident of God's ability to deliver you. Sorry, I've gotten food poisoning a few times. Oh, here, Pastor, let me make you a nice ham sandwich. Really? Wow, what's the green spread? Oh, nothing.
Butter.
Dear God. Oh, I'm fasting for a month now. The next thing we see with Jacob here, as you continue on in this chapter, you find that he has this thing where he goes, okay, God, maybe you'll bless this. But he reaches a place, and I guarantee you, in your life, you will reach this place where you will find that the Lord is there. And the Lord will not let you continue past where you are. Why? Because he loves you so much. He's not willing to leave you the way you are. He's not willing to let those things going on in your life continue. And that's because he cares about us. Because he loves us so much, he's not willing to leave us in the condition he found us. But we have to remember that we live on God's promises, not on God's explanations. God is not going to explain to you everything he's doing because he's God.
That's right.
You do not get to say, when you are the piece of clay, I will be made in such a fashion.
That's right.
The clay says, yes, potter, whatever you say, potter, and please don't leave me in the fire too long, potter.
That's right.
Okay, that's me. I admit I added that last one because I feel like some days God just goes, refiner's fire, oh good. Stoke it up extra. Because that's how sometimes life can feel. But that's not a bad thing. Because look at what happens here with Jacob. Jacob spends... I'm so sorry, Jacob. I had no idea that... Our worship leader today, his name was Jacob, and here I am beating the name to death. But Jacob wrestles with God all night. He wrestles with God all night and comes out of it no longer deceiver and schemer, but Prince of God. He comes out of it no longer Jacob, but Israel. And that is one of the most important things that we need to remember as Christians. Because God will not leave you where you are. If you think that the way you are is how you're going to be, I'm so sorry, it is not. God will continue to work on you. And when he's done with you, you will know because you will step into his presence. That's how you know you're done. Because he takes you home. Now naturally, we're all waiting for the trumpet to blow to go early. But no matter what, God will not, because he cares that much about you, he will not leave you there. And you may find that you get yourself into situations where God's wrestling with you. Where God's saying, and you feel like you're going back and forth on it, because God will say, whose will is it going to be? Will it be your will or my will?
That's right.
Because every one of us has to face that. Every one of us has to go from that dysfunctional place that we live in to the dynamic place that God has for us, because why? God knows what's best for us. Who made you? Who knew you before you were formed in the womb? Who knew the plans that he had to prosper you? Who knew all of that? God.
That's right.
Who can see the end from the beginning? God. Who's the one that wants the very best for you so much that he put his son on the cross so that you could come in and be healed?
Thank you, Jesus.
God. But I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes it can get very difficult. You can get very upset when you're wrestling with God because you don't want to wrestle with God anymore. You will reach those places in your life in the middle of the night where you're going, come on, God, how many more times?
Yeah.
You want to know how I know? Read Psalms. Even King David, a man after God's own heart, he wrestled with all of it.
Oh, yeah.
have you forsaken me? Have you left me? God, am I alone in this? Because you will have those moments. But don't lose heart, because in those moments, that's when God's really working on you, because he's using the circumstances of your life to mold you, to make you, to turn you from the deceiver into the Prince of God. To turn you from Jacob to Israel. Because God will make a beautiful thing out of you. I wish I could take you around to some of the churches I've been to and show you people and tell you their stories. To be able to tell you where they started to where they are now and the great things God has done. I thought about it today as we were singing leading worship. Jacob, when he was born, went through a major thing. Right away they were working with oxygen and everything else with him because he got into distress as he was being born. You'd never know that today. When he was first born, he was tiny. Now, you can't even picture that same kid anymore. He has a child of his own. That's a married man with a child of his own. You'd never guess that he's the same little guy that was running around in our way. Because God has taken him through a journey. I have seen him in school. I have seen him learn to lead worship. I have seen him just going and being faithful in his church, playing in youth group, playing whenever. Churches would call him and say, he's played in two bands. He's done all of those things. God has seen him through many things. God will see you through many things. But don't give up in the middle of the wrestling. Don't. If you give up while you're wrestling with God, you do not get the name Israel. I've watched people do it the opposite way. Oh, God, this is too hard. And they go off and do their own thing. And then lo and behold, years later, they're struggling away. And they still go through the same journey. They just took themselves and tried to short circuit it. There are no shortcuts. You've got to rely on the fact that God loves you. That has got to be core. Guys, surrender whatever it is that God has for you to get rid of. And I know you already know what those things are. Why do I know that? Because God's very faithful. He'll bring it right to your remembrance. There are things that God's been dealing with you on, and you're holding on to those sacred cows. Why? Let me tell you, they're not going to do you any good. If God's raising them in your life, even if you think they're a good thing, doesn't he know better? Who do you want to get directions from? Do you want directions from the guy who's standing by the tree, or do you want directions from the guy who's up in the ranger station who can see the whole forest on how to get through fast? What do you do when you're lost in the woods and you don't know where to go? You get to a different perspective. You climb up so that you can see the way out. Sometimes we need to do that with God. Sometimes we need to say, okay, God, your perspective is better. We don't want to keep driving down here. What happened? If he lived in fear, if he had stayed, oh, my brother's going to kill me. Esau's going to kill me. Oh, this is horrible. This is going to be really something. He's come with 400 men. Oh, my gosh, look, God, there's 400 men coming. What in the world am I ever going to do? All I've got are these ladies and a bunch of herds. He had to deal with his past. And yes, you will have to deal with your past. That's one of the hardest things when you're in a teen challenge talking to the guys, because they're always going, well, if I come to the Lord now, then my prison sentence will go away. And your prison sentence won't go away. It will still be there. You will not walk through it alone, but you will still have it. Sometimes that happens. It's called tattoo regret. People will get tattoos. My dad got a tattoo. Way back, drunk out of his mind, gets a tattoo. I heard about that tattoo my entire life. He hated that tattoo. Couldn't figure out why in the world he got a tattoo. Sometimes there are things that have gone on in your life that you will not like. Put them in God's hands. Okay? Because even if it's a bad thing to you, Romans 8:28 still applies. God will turn it and use it for your good. When you put it in his hands, if you stay holding on to it, not going to happen. You got to turn and put it into his hands. That's the freedom. Jacob kind of got pushed into it. He ran into a place in his life where God said, I want you to go back. Now notice, Jacob repeats that in his prayer to God, says, but God, you're the one who told me to go back, and now look at what it's getting me. My brother's coming out with 400 men. He doesn't know what's going to happen. From his perspective, he's coming to kill me, so he starts to divide his assets. Sometimes things will appear in the front of you that you're going, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. If it was just you, yes. That could very well be what happens. But when it's you and God, there is no situation that He is not victorious over. In this world, you will have tribulations, Jesus said. In this world, you will have tribulations. So you're going to have trouble. But you don't stop reading the Bible at tribulations. In this world, you will have tribulations. But I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. With you and Him, you're already an overcomer. With you and Him, you're already victorious. You're just not living in it yet. So you can approach it with great boldness going, I don't care what it looks like. It could be a complete disaster, but God can turn that into a blessing for me. Why? Because it's God. It's all about God. It's always been about God. When you're walking with God, everything's different. That's why you keep wrestling with God. Jacob at least figured it out. If I have to wrestle with God, I'm going to wrestle with Him, but I'm not going to let Him go until He blesses me. I'm not going to let God go. And that's what we've got to get to in our lives. We've got to be so desperate that we're going to push in and meet with God. Because I am more than ever convinced that unless we do that, this community's lost. That unless we do it, I don't care how many people we have in here, because we're two or three gathered in His name, but you guys know that God's put something into your heart, you're right there. I've gone through the last year with you and seen great things. And that's what we have to do. Why? Because we want to have more people in the church? Sure, why not? No, because it's about life and death. That's what it's about. It's life and death. But it's also about, I also know that the very best thing that will happen in your life is when you're living with God and His principles. Why? Because that's how we were intended to live.
Amen.
You want to know what the Garden of Eden was like? Serve Jesus.
Praise God.
You want to know what the Garden of Eden was like? Give Him your burdens.
That's right.
Never once did the Lord say, oh yeah, I want you to carry all this weight. Whenever I go walking up a hill right now, I'm always thinking, man, why in the world did I let myself get to this spot? Because it's so much harder hauling this extra weight up that stupid hill. Because I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden the lungs are going. Meanwhile, my daughter's running up beside me. And I look at her and I go, I remember when I was like that. But not today. I get midway up the dumb hill and I'm going, oh, this is great. I just want to look at the trees. They just take them a breath away. They're so beautiful. Why? Because I let myself get to a place that I was never intended to be. And sometimes we've done that in our lives, but you don't stop. Because I can tell you today, I've been walking those hills for about 3 months now. I have a lot more air now. I'm in better shape than I was 3 months ago. And that's why you keep going. Because every time I do it, now every time I hit the hill, it's not nearly as bad. Because you don't give up in the middle of the journey. Let God take you where He wants to take you. We have hosts of dysfunctional homes out there. Okay, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. It still amazes me now when I look back and go, I can't even believe that I managed to live in the middle of that. But that wasn't where God had for me to stay. He had better things in store for me. He has better things in store for each of us. Let Him do it. If there's things that He's laying on your heart to let go, if He keeps bringing stuff, don't hold on to them. Because no matter how great or pleasurable you think that thing is, You're missing the perspective like the Israelites did. The Israelites were sitting there going, oh, remember how the food was so good in Egypt? Oh, that was some great food. We never had to worry about water. We never had to worry about meat.
Sure.
Yeah, sure you didn't, but you were making bricks with no straw, and you had taskmasters who would whip you. How quickly we forget. How quickly we change our perspective and go, oh yeah, I just remember when it was so good. Oh, but my old life when I just got out of the bar and everything was awesome. How quickly people forget the next day being hungover. The next day being so sick and not remembering where you were.
Yeah, I know where you are.
Because we forget, because the enemy fools us and goes, wasn't it pleasurable? Oh, remember when you used to have so much fun? I have never, ever met anybody who went on a drinking binge who the next day was going, oh, it was just nothing but great. Now, probably because I was also the guy that would go along and knock in the doors. Just make it, oh, sorry, did I drop that? Oh, these drums, I didn't mean to drop them there. Gee, there's dirt in this pot. Right? Most people forget very quickly. We need to not let the enemy fool us with that and say, oh, it's not really that bad. Because the most dangerous thing we can do as Christians is start to look back on sin and say it's not that bad.
Amen.
Because when we do that, it begins to put the light out in our lives.
True.
And the worst thing you will ever find is a Christian who has gone back to where they were. They are the most miserable people. Because the enemy has fooled them and has trapped them back into the cage and has them sitting in there, even though the cage door is unlocked. So many think they're trapped. Life was meant to be. Take my yoke upon me, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light, says the Lord. No matter how hard you think it is to serve the Lord, it is far easier than you imagine. Do not let the fears of the past overwhelm your future. Because you will never get to the place where you're Israel when you're still using the schemes when you were Jacob.
That's right.
Do not hold on to the tools of the past. Let God reteach you. Let God give you the new ways. And you will find that life is a whole lot better than you ever knew. That His joy is abundant. That's what the scripture says. That's where you want to be. See, it wasn't that easy. That wasn't even a hard sermon. Right?
Praise God.
Heavenly Father, as we close the service, I just ask God that, Lord, I pray that your blessing will be upon each one. Lord, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for what you're doing. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for where you're taking us. These are great days to be alive, great days to be serving you. And we have the best church possible. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.